It's November the 15th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. For the last couple of months, we have spent a lot of days in these three big major prophets, Isaiah, 66 chapters, and Jeremiah, 52 chapters. And today, we come to the end of the book of Ezekiel, 48 chapters. What a journey it's been. I got to tell you, I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've learned a lot. You may study this part of the Bible, but to do some personal reading and so on, but reading it out loud like this has been a revelation to me. What a great vision. And so, here at the end of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to read today chapters 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48. So we're going to get right to it. But just to remind you of the outline of the book for the final time, judgment, restoration, worship, judgment, chapters 1 through 32, restoration 33 through 39. Then the book of Ezekiel comes to an end with this section on worship, the rebuilt and restored, the beautiful, vast, magnificent temple to be rebuilt, occupied a center for worship during the coming millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you for all that we've learned in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. What a blessing it's been. And we pray, speak to us again today. Show us again truth from your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel 43, He led me to the gate, the one that faces east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice sounded like the roar of a huge torrent, and the earth shone with his glory. The vision I saw was like the one I had seen when he came to destroy the city, like the ones I had seen by the Kibar Canal. I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple by way of the gate that faced east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from the temple. He said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place for the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the Israelites forever. The house of Israel and their kings will no longer defile my holy name by their religious prostitution and by the corpses of their kings at their high places, whenever they placed their threshold next to my threshold and their doorpost beside my doorpost, with only a wall between me and them. They were defiling my holy name by the detestable acts they committed. So I destroyed them in my anger. Now let them remove their prostitution and the corpses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell among them forever. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel so that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. Let them measure its pattern, and they will be ashamed of all they have done. Reveal the design of the temple to them, its layout with its exits and entrances, its complete design, along with all its statutes, design specification, and laws. Write it down in their sight so that they may observe its complete design and all its statutes and may carry them out. This is the law of the temple. All its surrounding territory on top of the mountain will be especially holy. Yes, this is the law of the temple. These are the measurements of the altar in units of length, each unit being the standard length plus 3 inches. The gutter is 21 inches deep and 21 inches wide, with a rim of 9 inches around its edge. This is the base of the altar. The distance from the gutter on the ground to the lower ledge is 3.5 feet, and the width of the ledge is 21 inches. There are 7 feet from the small ledge to the large ledge, whose width is also 21 inches. The altar hearth is 7 feet high, and 4 horns project upward from the hearth. The hearth is square, 21 feet long by 21 feet wide. The ledge is 24.5 feet long by 24.5 feet wide, with 4 equal sides. The rim all around it is 10.5 inches, and its gutter is 21 inches all around it. The altar step face east. Then he said to me, "Son of man, this is what the Lord God says. These are the statutes for the altar on the day it is constructed, so that burnt offerings may be sacrificed on it and blood may be splattered on it. You are to give a bull from the herd as a sin offering to the Levitical priests who are from the offspring of Zadok, who approach me in order to serve me. This is the declaration of the Lord God. You are to take some of its blood and apply it to the 4 horns of the altar, the 4 corners of the ledge, and all around the rim. In this way, you will purify the altar and make atonement for it. Then you are to take away the bull for the sin offering, and it must be burned outside the sanctuary in the place appointed for the temple. On the second day, you are to present an unblemished male goat as a sin offering. They will purify the altar just as they did with the bull. When you have finished the purification, you are to present a young, unblemished bull and an unblemished ram from the flock. You are to present them before the Lord. The priests will throw salt on them and sacrifice them as a burnt offering to the Lord. You will offer a goat for a sin offering each day for 7 days. A young bull and a ram from the flock, both unblemished, are also to be offered. For 7 days, the priests are to make atonement for the altar and cleanse it. In this way, they will consecrate it and complete the days of purification. Then on the eighth day and afterward, the priests will offer your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings on the altar. And I will accept you. This is the declaration of the Lord God. Ezekiel 44. The man then brought me back toward the sanctuary's outer gate that faced east, and it was closed. The Lord said to me, "This gate will remain closed. It will not be opened, and no one will enter through it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered through it. Therefore, it will remain closed. The prince himself will sit in the gate to eat a meal before the Lord. He is to enter by way of the portico of the gate and go out the same way." Then the man brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the temple. I looked, and the glory of the Lord filled his temple, and I fell face down. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, pay attention. Look with your eyes and listen with your ears to everything I tell you about the statutes and laws of the Lord's temple. Take careful note of the entrance of the temple along with all the exits of the sanctuary. Say to the rebellious people, the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says, I have had enough of all your detestable practices, house of Israel. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in both heart and flesh, to occupy my sanctuary, you defiled my temple while you offered my food, the fat and the blood. You broke my covenant by all your detestable practices. You have not kept charge of my holy things, but have appointed others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. This is what the Lord God says, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, may enter my sanctuary, not even a foreigner who is among the Israelites. Surely, the Levites who wandered away from me when Israel went astray, and who strayed from me after their idols, will bear the consequences of their iniquity. Yet, they will occupy my sanctuary, serving as guards at the temple gates and ministering at the temple. They will slaughter the burnt offerings and other sacrifices for the people, and will stand before them to serve them. Because they ministered to the house of Israel before their idols and became a sinful stumbling block to them, therefore I swore an oath against them. This is the declaration of the Lord God, that they would bear the consequences of their iniquity. They must not approach me to serve me as priests or come near any of my holy things or the most holy things. They will bear their disgrace and the consequences of the detestable acts they committed. Yet I will make them responsible for the duties of the temple, for all its work and everything done in it. But the Levitical priests descended from Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me, will approach me to serve me. They will stand before me to offer me fat and blood. This is the declaration of the Lord God. They are the ones who may enter my sanctuary and approach my table to serve me. They will keep my mandate. When they enter the gates of the inner court, they are to wear linen garments. They must not have on them anything made of wool when they minister at the gates of the inner court and within it. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waists. They are not to put on anything that makes them sweat. Before they go out to the outer court to the people, they must take off the clothes they've been ministering in, leave them in the holy chambers, and dress in other clothes, so that they do not transmit holiness to the people through their clothes. They may not shave their heads or let their hair grow long, but are carefully trim their hair. No priest may drink wine before he enters the inner court. He is not to marry a widow or a divorced woman, but may marry only a virgin from the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. They are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common, and to explain to them the difference between the clean and the unclean. In a dispute, they will officiate as judges and decide the case according to my ordinances. They are to observe my laws and statutes regarding all my appointed festivals and keep my Sabbaths holy. A priest may not come near a dead person so that he becomes defiled. However, he may defile himself for a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, or an unmarried sister. After he is cleansed, he is to count off 7 days for himself. On the day he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he is to present his sin offering. This is the declaration of the Lord God. This will be their inheritance. I am their inheritance. You are to give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They will eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. Everything in Israel that is permanently dedicated to the Lord will belong to them. The best of all the first fruits of every kind and contribution of every kind from all your gifts will belong to the priests. You are to give your first batch of dough to the priest so that a blessing may rest on your homes. The priest may not eat any bird or animal that died naturally or was mauled by wild beasts. Ezekiel 45. So we've talked a little bit now about the furniture of this new to-be-built temple. We've talked about the Levitical priests. One group, they will serve and guard the temple, so to speak, but they won't serve in the actual worship part of it. But the sons of Zadok, because they were faithful, they are allowed to. So we've talked about all of that and the various regulations. Now, the land. This is what makes me quite sure this is not discussing anything that ever has happened in history so far, because this is nothing like current state, the current situation in Jerusalem, and nothing like it was the days of Solomon, Zerubbabel, or Herod. Let me read. Ezekiel 45, when you divide the land by lot as an inheritance, set aside a donation to the Lord, a holy portion of the land, 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. This entire region will be holy. In this area, there will be a square section for the sanctuary, 875 by 875 feet, with 87.5 feet of open space all around it. From this holy portion, you will measure off an area 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, in which the sanctuary, the most holy place, will stand. It will be a holy area of the land to be used by the priests who minister in the sanctuary, who approach to serve the Lord. It will be a place for their houses as well as a holy area for the sanctuary. There will be another area, 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, for the Levites who minister in the temple. It will be their possession for towns to live in. As the property of the city, set aside an area 1 2/3 miles wide and 8 1/3 miles long, adjacent to the holy donation of land. It will be for the whole house of Israel. And the prince will have the area on either side of the holy donation of land in the city's property, adjacent to the holy donation and the city's property, stretching to the west on the west side and to the east on the east side. Its length will correspond to one of the tribal portions from the western boundary to the eastern boundary. This will be his land as a possession in Israel. My princes will no longer oppress my people, but give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. This is what the Lord God says. You have gone too far, princes of Israel. Put away violence and oppression and do what is just and right. Put an end to your evictions of my people. This is the declaration of the Lord God. You are to have honest scales, an honest dry measure, and an honest liquid measure. The dry measure and the liquid measure will be uniform, with the liquid measure containing 5.5 gallons and the dry measure holding 0.5 bushel. Their measurement will be 1/10 of the standard larger capacity measure. The shekel will weigh 20 gerahs. Your mina will equal 60 shekels. This is the contribution you are to offer. 3 quarts from 6 bushels of wheat and 3 quarts from 6 bushels of barley. The quota of oil and liquid measures will be 1% of every core. The core equals 10 liquid measures or 1 standard larger capacity measure, since 10 liquid measures equal 1 standard larger capacity measure. And the quota from the flock is 1 animal out of every 200 from the well-watered pastures of Israel. These are for the grain offerings, burnt offerings, and fellowship offerings to make atonement for the people. This is the declaration of the Lord God. All the people of the land must take part in this contribution for the prince in Israel. Then the burnt offerings, grain offerings, and drink offerings for the festivals, new moons, and Sabbath, for all the appointed times of the house of Israel, will be the prince's responsibility. He will provide the sin offerings, grain offerings, burnt offerings, and fellowship offerings to make atonement on behalf of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord God says. In the first month, on the first day of the month, you are to take a young, unblemished bull and purify the sanctuary. The priest is to take some of the blood from the sin offering and apply it to the temple doorpost, the 4 corners of the altar's ledge, and the doorposts of the gate of the inner court. You are to do the same thing on the 7th day of the month for everyone who sins unintentionally or through ignorance. In this way, you will make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you are to celebrate the Passover, a festival of 7 days during which unleavened bread will be eaten. On that day, the prince will provide a bull as a sin offering on behalf of himself and all the people of the land. during the 7 days of the festival. He will provide seven bulls and seven rams without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord on each of the 7 days, along with a male goat each day for a sin offering. He will also provide a grain offering of half a bushel per bull and half a bushel per ram, along with a gallon of oil for every half bushel. At the festival that begins on the 15th day of the seventh month, he will provide the same things for 7 days, the same sin offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, and oil. Ezekiel 46. This is what the Lord God says. The gate of the inner court that faces east is to be closed during the 6 days of work, but it will be opened on the Sabbath day and opened on the day of the new moon. The prince should enter from the outside by way of the gate's portico and stand at the gate's doorpost while the priest sacrifices burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. He will bow and worship at the gate's threshold and then depart. But the gate is not to be closed until evening. The people of the land will also bow and worship before the Lord at the entrance of that gate on the Sabbaths and the new moons. The burnt offering that the priest presents to the Lord on the Sabbath day is to be six unblemished lambs and an unblemished ram. The grain offering will be half a bushel with the ram, and the grain offering with the lambs will be whatever he wants to give, as well as a gallon of oil for every half bushel. On the day of the new moon, the burnt offering is to be a young unblemished bull, as well as six lambs and a ram without blemish. He will provide a grain offering of half a bushel with the bull, half a bushel with the ram, and whatever he can afford with the lambs, together with a gallon of oil for every half bushel. When the prince enters, he is to go in by way of the gate's portico and go out the same way. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed times, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship is to go out by way of the south gate, and whoever enters by way of the south gate is to go out by way of the north gate. No one may return through the gate by which he entered, but is to go out by the opposite gate. When the people enter, the prince will enter with them, and when they leave, he will leave. At the festivals and appointed times, the grain offering will be half a bushel with the bull, half a bushel with the ram, and whatever he wants to give with the lambs, along with a gallon of oil for every half bushel. When the prince makes a free will offering, whether a burnt offering or a fellowship offering, is a free will offering to the Lord, the gate that faces east is to be open for him. He is to offer his burnt offering or fellowship offering just as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he will go out, and the gate is to be closed after he leaves. You are to offer an unblemished year-old male lamb as a daily burnt offering to the Lord. You will offer it every morning. You are also to prepare a grain offering each morning along with it. 3 quarts with 1/3 of a gallon of oil to moisten the fine flour, a grain offering to the Lord. This is a permanent statute to be observed regularly. They will offer the lamb, the grain offering, and the oil every morning as a regular burnt offering. This is what the Lord God says. If the prince gives a gift to each of his sons as their inheritance, it will belong to his sons. It will become their property by inheritance. But if he gives a gift from his inheritance to one of his servants, it will belong to that servant until the year of freedom, when it will revert to the priest. His inheritance belongs only to his sons. It is theirs. The priest must not take any of the people's inheritance, evicting them from their property. He is to provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of my people will be displaced from his own property. Then he brought me through the entrance that was at the side of the gate into the priest's holy chambers, which faced north. I saw a place there at the far western, and he said to me, "This is the place where the priests will boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, where they will bake grain offerings so that they do not bring them into the outer court and transmit holiness to the people." Next, he brought me into the outer court and led me past its four corners. There was a separate court in each of its corners. In the four corners of the outer court, there were enclosed courts, 70 feet long by 52 and a half feet wide. All four corner areas had the same dimensions. There was a stone wall around the inside of them, around the four of them, with ovens built at the base of the walls on all sides. He said to me, "These are the temples where those who minister at the temple will cook people's sacrifices." Ezekiel 47. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, where the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Next, he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. There the water was trickling from the south side. As the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1/3 of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my ankles. Then he measured off 1/3 of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my knees. He measured off another third of a mile and led me through the water. It came up to my waist. Again, he measured off a third of a mile, and it was a river that I could not cross on foot, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed on foot. He said to me, "Do you see this, son of man?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I had returned, I saw a very large number of trees along both sides of the river bank. He said to me, "This water flows out of the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. When it enters the sea of foul water, the water of the sea becomes fresh. Every kind of living creature that swarms will live wherever the river flows, and there will be a huge number of fish because this water goes there. Since the water will become fresh, there will be life everywhere the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside it from En Gedi to En Eglaim. These will become places where the nets are spread out to dry. Their fish will consist of many different kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. Yet its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be left for salt. All kinds of trees providing food will grow along both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Each month they will bear fresh fruit because the water comes from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be used for eating and their leaves for healing. This is what the Lord God says. This is the border you will use to divide the land as an inheritance for the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph will receive 2 shares. You will inherit it in equal portions since I swore to give it to your ancestors. So this land will fall to you as an inheritance. This is to be the border of the land. On the north side, you will extend from the Mediterranean Sea by way of Hethlon and Lebo Hamath to Zedad, Berotha and Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, as far as Hatzer Hatikon, which is on the border of Hauran. So the border will run from the sea to Hatzar Enon on the border of Damascus, with the territory of Hamath to the north. This will be in the northern side. On the east side, it will run between Hauran and Damascus, along the Jordan between Gilead and the land of Israel. You will measure from the northern border to the eastern sea. This will be the eastern side. On the south side, you'll run from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh and on to the brook of Egypt as far as the Mediterranean Sea. This will be the southern side. On the western side, the Mediterranean Sea will be the border from the southern border up to a point opposite Lebo Hamath. This will be the western side. You are to divide this land among yourselves according to the tribes of Israel. You will allot it as an inheritance for yourselves and for the aliens residing among you, who have fathered children among you. You will treat them like native-born Israelites. Along with you, they will be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the alien resides, you will assign his inheritance there. This is the declaration of the Lord God. And so now we come to Ezekiel 48, and we started with so many chapters of denunciation, didn't we, of Judah's sin, and some very explicit imagery of how Judah had gone a-whoring after these idols and gone into sexual immorality, and the judgment was promised. And then finally, the promise of restoration, and now we come to the end of it. This is where the book ends. Now these are the names of the tribes. From the northern end along the road of Hethlon to Lebo Hamath, as far as Hatzer Enon, at the northern border of Damascus, alongside Hamath and extending from the eastern side to the sea, will be Dan, one portion. Next to the territory of Dan, from the east side to the west, will be Asher, one portion. Next to the territory of Asher, from the east side to the west, will be Naphtali, one portion. Next to the territory of Naphtali, from the east side to the west, will be Manasseh, one portion. Next to the territory of Manasseh, from the east side to the west, will be Ephraim, one portion. Next to the territory of Ephraim, from the east side to the west, will be Reuben, one portion. Next to the territory of Reuben, from the east side to the west, will be Judah, one portion. Next to the territory of Judah, from the east side to the west, will be the portion you donate to the Lord, 8 1/3 miles wide and as long as one of the tribal portions from the east side to the west. The sanctuary will be in the middle of it. The special portion you donate to the Lord will be 8 1/3 miles long, 3 1/3 miles wide. This holy donation will be set apart for the priests alone. It will be 8 1/3 miles long on the northern side, 3 1/3 miles wide on the western side, 3 1/3 miles wide on the eastern side, and 8 1/3 miles long on the southern side. The Lord's sanctuary will be in the middle of it. It is for the consecrated priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge and did not go astray, as the Levites did when the Israelites went astray. It will be a special donation for them out of the holy donation of the land, a most holy place adjacent to the territory of the Levites. Next, the territory of the priests, the Levites will have an area 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. The total length will be 8 1/3 miles and the width 3 1/3 miles. They must not sell or exchange any of it, and they must not transfer this choice part of the land, for it is holy to the Lord. The remaining area, 1 2/3 miles wide and 8 1/3 miles long, will be for common use by the city, both for residence and open space. The city will be in the middle of it. These are the city's measurements. 1 1/2 miles on the north side, 1 1/2 miles on the south side, 1 1/2 miles on the east side, 1 1/2 miles on the west side. The city's open spaces will extend 425 feet to the north, 425 feet to the south, 425 feet to the east, 425 feet to the west. The remainder of the length alongside the holy donation will be 3 1/3 miles to the east, 3 1/3 miles to the west. It will run along the holy donation. Its produce will be food for the workers of the city. The city's workers from all the tribes of Israel will cultivate it. The entire donation will be 8 1/3 miles by 8 1/3 miles. You are to set apart the holy donation along with the city property as a square area. The remaining area on both sides of the holy donation and the city property will belong to the prince. He will own the land adjacent to the tribal portions next to the 8 1/3 miles of the donation as far as the eastern border, and next to the 8 1/3 miles of the donation as far as the western border. The holy donation and the sanctuary of the temple will be in the middle of it. Except for the Levitical property and the city property in the middle of the area belonging to the prince, the area between the territory of Judah and that of Benjamin will belong to the prince. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west will be Benjamin, one portion. Next to the territory of Benjamin, from the east side to the west will be Simeon, one portion. Next to the territory of Simeon, from the east side to the west will be Issachar, one portion. Next to the territory of Issachar, from the east side to the west will be Zebulun, one portion. Next to the territory of Zebulun, from the east side to the west will be Gad, one portion. Next to the territory of Gad, toward the south side, the border will run from Tamar to the waters of Meribeth Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, and out to the Mediterranean Sea. This is the land you are to allot as an inheritance to Israel's tribes, and these will be their portions. This is the declaration of the Lord God. These are the exits of the city on the north side, which measures 1 1/2 miles. There will be 3 gates facing north, the gates of the city being named for the tribes of Israel, one the gate of Reuben, one the gate of Judah, one the gate of Levi. On the east side, which is 1 1/2 miles, there will be 3 gates, one the gate of Joseph, one the gate of Benjamin, one the gate of Dan. On the south side, which measures 1 1/2 miles, there will be 3 gates, one the gate of Simeon, one the gate of Issachar, one the gate of Zebulun. On the west side, which is 1 1/2 miles, there will be 3 gates, one the gate of Gad, one the gate of Asher, one the gate of Naphtali. The perimeter of the city will be 6 miles. And the name of the city from that day on will be The Lord Is There. Now, a couple of things. Nothing like this has ever happened in the Middle East. If you have a Bible that has maps, and you ought to have a Bible that has maps, you ought to look it up the division of the land in the days of Joshua. And it's all over the place. You have the, if Ephraim had a big piece of land and Manasseh was so big, it had 2 pieces, one on the east side of the Jordan, one on the west side. Judah was big and Simeon was just scattered inside Judah, and Asher was relatively small, and Naphtali was relatively small. I mean, what I'm saying, and they were just sort of jumbled together, so to speak. When you look at it, there's no apparent rhyme or reason other than this was the lot that was drawn. But understand, in that day, there's going to be vast topological changes, some which we understand, some we don't, that basically what's being described here, if you think of the Mediterranean Sea, a Sea of Galilee, Jordan River, and Dead Sea, and Jerusalem, it's as if, you know, it says from east to west, as if the tribes are going to be, a tribe is going to have a slice here, then one under it, one under it, one under it, and there in the middle is going to be the space reserved for the city and for this brand new huge temple. Then underneath it, another slice, for all it. So it's going to be much bigger than anything that has ever been constructed, much bigger than anything that exists in the Holy Land, and it would be easy, I suppose, to get lost in some of these details. And I'm not saying I understand all. I don't understand all these details. But let us say that the most important verse in the book of Ezekiel is the last one. The name of the city from that day on will be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. God, who has been so patient over all the generations, He's going to bring His people from judgment to restoration to worship. They will be His people. He will be their God. They will never go astray again. He will never leave them again. That's, friends, that's where we're going ultimately. This has always been God's plan. We are going to be delivered through Jesus from judgment to restoration, and someday to free and eternal worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. The Lord is there. God always intended to bring His people to a place where they would never leave again. And by the way, we're going to get to, you got to hang on now till the end of, to the end of December, because when we get to Revelation 21 and 22, the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down, it's clear, it's unmistakable that John is seeing similarities between his vision and what is written here, at the river of life with the which proceeds from the throne of God, and the trees which are with bear fruit for the healing of the nations, and the fruit that comes every month. So there is a close correspondence here between what we see at the end of the book of Ezekiel and the end of the book of Revelation. God is bringing us from judgment to restoration to worship. Praise His name forever. Well, thank you for staying with us. Go out and have a great day. Tomorrow, we are going to jump from prophets of the Old Testament to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy. It's going to be, or only going to be there a few days, because those are short books compared to these long prophetic books of the Old Testament, but it's going to be great. So go out and have a great day. Worship the Lord now. Sing to the Lord. It's choir practice for heaven. Have a great day, folks. Come back tomorrow. God bless you. We'll do this again.